All right, I'd like you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to Romans chapter 8. When we do it God's way, He wants us to be the head and not the tail. In the next two messages, we're going to talk more about how and the kingdom will be ours once again.
Welcome to Mission to Israel, a broadcast ministry featuring author, teacher, and evangelist Ted R. Weiland. The focus of this ministry is to open the eyes of our people and give insight into the issues we find ourselves facing in this day and age. Our address is Mission to Israel, Post Office Box 248, Scotts Bluff, Nebraska 69363, or you can reach us via the web at www.missiontoisrael.org. And now, here is Ted Weiland.
Okay, let's take our Bibles and turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 1 through 5. Verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Excuse me, there is one body and one Spirit, even as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one immersion. You know, as many times as we've read that those five verses now in this series, you may very well soon have them memorized, and that, of course, would be a very good thing, a great thing, in fact. This will be an expository series on Ephesians, part 31. And it's subtitled, it's subtitled Round 7, Baptism versus Baptism. That is Ephesians 4, 5's H2O New Covenant Water Immersion versus Charlie Stewart's Living Water Immersion. Now, I can imagine that someone is probably thinking to themselves or saying out loud possibly as well, is Ted going to ever move on to something else? And the answer to that is eventually, Lord willing. But not so long as Yahweh continues to provide me insights that will hopefully give clarity to this issue, this extremely important issue, this salvation issue. And there remains hope and an opportunity to reach Charlie, his family, and anyone else who, because of Charlie's teachings or someone else's, has yet to be scripturally new covenant H2O water immersed for the forgiveness of their sins per Mark 16:16, Acts 2:38, etc. That said, I do anticipate this to be the last full message devoted to this debate between Charlie and I. Now, not only are Charlie and I concurrently teaching on baptism, what we agree is crucial to our salvation in Christ. But a couple of weekends ago, we also had a roundtable debate at Charlie's Missouri conference regarding H2O baptism versus Charlie's living water baptism. And as with all debates, one looks back and wishes that he had said some things that he didn't think of at the time or didn't have time to deal with. For example, I pointed out at some point in some of my comments in that debate, I pointed out that because H2O immersion for the forgiveness of sins is what makes us right-hand brothers in Christ. And if you're not familiar with what I'm talking about as far as right-hand brothers in Christ, go to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 8, and it talks about that Paul was extended by some of the others the right hand of fellowship. They were brothers in Christ. All right, so I had pointed out that because H2O immersion for the forgiveness of sins is what makes us right-hand brothers in Christ, that I was compelled to extend only the left hand of fellowship to Charlie and his family. And we're not talking about literally extending the left or right handed, but you get the point. The right hand indicating brotherhood, being brothers together in Christ in the ecclesia, and the left hand being, I'm still extending some fellowship to you, but understand, it's not right hand fellowship. And what I left unsaid was that my extending the left hand to him and his family is that, Lord willing, one day I might be able to extend the right hand to him and his family. And to do otherwise, to extend the right hand rather than the left hand, to do otherwise would be the greatest of injustices to Charlie, his family, and anyone else in the same sinking boat, who need to be saved from their boat rather than an indifferent bon voyage as they travel down the road they're on. Additionally, in Charlie's introductory remarks in the roundtable discussion, Charlie said something to the effect that my position on H2O water immersion was a carryover from previous church teaching. That I had been inundated with it from my past church experiences, and I was just having a difficult time or an impossible time divorcing myself from it. Well, what Charlie doesn't know is that I had no church teaching on H2O immersion, but that instead, when confronted with Mark 16:16, Acts 2:38, and related passages, on my own, by myself, I conducted an exhaustive 2-week Bible study on baptism without consulting anyone. I wasn't even a member of a church at the time, and never had been previous to that time. I had arrived at my conclusions I hold today regarding H2O water, New Covenant, H2O water immersion, strictly from the scriptures themselves. Charlie thinks it's a carryover. Well, that said, in turn, I could declare that Charlie's reason for rejecting the New Covenant H2O immersion is a consequence of his prior church experiences and his subsequent revulsion to anything he regards as having been derived from today's churches. Which is concluded with the proverbial throwing the baby out with the bathwater. But the point being, in my bringing that up, these kinds of assumptions and or accusations shouldn't enter into the debate at all. Assumptions that cannot be proven to begin with. Bottom line, the only thing that matters in this or any other doctrinal issue is what do the scriptures teach? Charlie had also declared something to the effect that all that has occurred and or has been accomplished in his life was impossible without the influence of the Holy Spirit. And I agree. Just as it was with my life during the 2 years prior to being Mark 16:16 immersed. Just as it was during the 3 days prior to Paul being Mark 16:16 immersed in Acts 22:16. But that cannot be used to prove one's salvation, forgiveness of sins, or even the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now, no one's going to deny that Christ and or the Holy Spirit was at work on Paul's life on the road to Damascus. I mean, Christ speaks to him, knocks him off his horse. Paul recognizes him as Lord and says, "Lord, what do I do?" No one's going to deny that that was Christ or the Holy Spirit working on his life. But, now follow with me, but Paul's sins were not forgiven until 3 days later, when he arose and was immersed, calling upon the name of the Lord, when via the blood of Christ, of course, his sins were washed away, per Acts 22:16. Furthermore, although unquestionably under the influence of the Holy Spirit, Paul was not indwelt with the Holy Spirit until his sins were washed away. God will not dwell in an unclean vessel, Psalms 5:4, etc. What occurred in Paul's life the 3 days prior was unequivocally the work of the Holy Spirit, which we know occurs when, what occurred in Paul's life the 3 days prior to Acts 22:16, when he had his sins washed away, was unequivocally the work of the Holy Spirit. But it was not the result of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which we know occurs when in faith and repentance a person is H2O immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. Acts 2:38, as commissioned by Christ, our new covenant king, in Mark 16:16. Acts 2:38, and Peter said to them, repent, surrender yourself, your will to his will. Die to yourself to live for him. Just different ways of saying this. And Peter said to them, repent, and let each of you be immersed in the name of Jesus Christ, which from Acts 10:47 and 48 we know was a water immersion in the name of the Lord. And Peter said to them, repent, and let each of you be immersed in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and, following that, and you shall receive the gift, or the indwelling in this case, of the Holy Spirit, end of quote. Consequently, for anyone to declare that his life, Holy Spirit influenced or otherwise, is proof his doctrinal position is correct, is to judge the Scriptures by his life and experiences. No different than the Mormons are notorious for doing. Instead, our life and experiences must be judged by what's found in the Scriptures, not the other way around. And when Charlie's life, the same as mine and the same as the Apostle Paul's, is judged by the Scriptures, it's clear we had a conversion experience whereby we surrendered our will to Christ's will. That in Charlie's case, hopefully, consummates in Charlie's salvation and then the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, as it did in Paul's, per Mark 16:16, Acts 2:38, and Acts 22:16, etc. All right, with that, I want to take your Bibles, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Excuse me, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In the same fashion as claims regarding Holy Spirit influence as alleged evidence of one's salvation, the same is true concerning 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let's read it again, as we have previously. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Charlie shared his wife's dramatic conversion with us at the conference. I don't think it was in the debate. I think it was in one of his messages or comments following. I think it was in his first message. I'm not sure. It was either in his message or in the debate. Doesn't matter. But Charlie shared his wife Teresa's dramatic conversion with us at the conference and claimed it was evidence of 2 Corinthians 5:17 being fulfilled in her life. But once again, a conversion experience resulting from both the Holy Spirit and the Holy Scriptures cannot be used to prove one's salvation without H2O immersion. Rather, the Scriptures must be used to determine whether someone has been saved or merely converted, which hopefully will lead to one's salvation, as it did with Paul's road to Damascus conversion per Acts 22. Now, I've already used 2 Corinthians 5:17 numerous times in my messages. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Along with Romans 8:1, if you recall, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. To point out that I've used it several times to point out that not only must Christ be in us, per Romans 8:8 and 9, but that we must also be in Christ in order to be 2 Corinthians 5:17 born again and so as to not be condemned. Now, don't miss this. Charlie claimed 2 Corinthians 5:17 as new covenant applicable for Teresa and therefore for everyone. Charlie claimed 2 Corinthians 5:17 as new covenant applicable. That is, that we must be in Christ to be born again. But one cannot claim 2 Corinthians 5:17 without at the same time embracing Romans 6, 3-4's H2O water immersion as the means of getting into Christ. And yes, it was an H2O immersion as much as was Mark 16:16, Acts 2:38, 8:36-38, 10:47-48, 19:5, and Acts 22:16. All of which Charlie agrees were H2O water immersions. And Romans 6, 3-4 was as much a H2O water immersion as what were those. Now, let's go over to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, we've looked at these verses several times already as well. But before reading verses 3 and 4 again, I want to first ask you two questions. First, does the Bible record Paul, or anyone for that matter, being living water baptized or immersed? Answer, no, it does not. That terminology is foreign to the Bible. It was instead created by Charlie. Second, what baptism is recorded in Acts 22:16 in which Paul was immersed? Now, unless you're prepared to say that immersion calling upon the name of the Lord in Acts 22:16 is different from immersion in the name of the Lord or in the name of Jesus Christ in Acts 2:38 and 10:47-48, I hope you're not going to go there, which are unequivocally H2O water immersions to which Charlie agrees. Unless you're prepared to make those different modes of baptism, the only baptism recorded for Paul was his H2O Acts 26 immersion. With that in mind, Romans 6, 3 and 4. Know you not that so many of us were immersed into Jesus Christ were immersed into his death. Therefore we are buried with him in immersion into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Did you catch it? There's one very important word that I hadn't thought of before in regards to 2 Corinthians 5:17, becoming a new creation in Christ, when in Christ, and here in Romans 6, 3-4, elaborating upon how we get into Christ. Did you catch it? It's the word us. Verse 3 again. Know you not that so many of us as were immersed into Jesus Christ, were immersed into his death. Us refers to both the Roman Christians and also Paul himself. The only immersion recorded for Paul in the Scriptures was his H2O water immersion in Acts 22:16. by which he, the Romans, and us get into Christ, whereby we become 2 Corinthians 5:17, new creations. Or, as depicted here in Romans 6, 3-4, to walk in newness, to be raised, to walk in newness of life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 cannot be divorced from Romans 6, 3-4's H2O immersion. Consequently, one's conversion apart from H2O water immersion cannot be used to claim salvation or to eliminate H2O as part of the New Covenant salvation equation. Instead, 2 Corinthians 5:17 and Romans 6, 3-4 is what determines whether someone is saved or merely converted, that will hopefully consummate in their salvation. All right, let's turn over to Acts chapter 2. And again, these are all things that I thought about in passing or didn't think of at all at the time we were having the debate. And so since then, they've come to mind, and I've wanted to cover what wasn't covered in that debate. Acts chapter 2, and I want to, or let me say, however, before reading that account again, we need to first understand that Charlie's alleged living water immersion is one and the same as what I identify as being totally surrendered to Christ as Lord and King. That hopefully, if with all I've covered that many times in the past, hopefully that's clear to you. And that both Charlie's alleged living water immersion, and what I usually use the terminology surrendered to Christ as Lord and King for, that both are equivalent to what the Bible identifies as repentance. Repentance, not as today's contemporary church defines it, but as the Bible defines it. Now, with that in mind, let's look at Acts 2 again. And I may have covered this in the debate, but I know some of you probably will never hear the debate, and so I wanted to make sure that in case I did cover it and you don't listen to the debate, that I share this with you, because this is some new information that I think you'll find is worthy of your consideration. So Acts chapter 2, we'll just read verses 37 and 38 at this time, and it says, "And now when they heard this, the Judahites gathered for the day of Pentecost. And now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts," or pierced to the heart, I like better, "and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" In faith, they now understood what they had done. They had crucified the very Messiah they were looking for. So in faith, their faith is evident. They wouldn't be asking the question, "What do we do?" And then Peter answers that question, and he says, "And then Peter said unto them, Repent and be immersed, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Did you catch, in reading it this time, did you catch the additional quagmire or dilemma this creates for Charlie? Repentance, true repentance, is one and the same as surrendering your life to Christ, which is one and the same as Charlie's alleged living water immersion. Consequently, if Charlie's position is correct, then the Apostle Peter first instructed the Judahites in Acts 2 to repent. That is, per Charlie, to be New Covenant living water immersed. And then to turn right around and be Old Covenant H2O water immersed. Which, of course, makes no sense whatsoever. Especially with the reversed order. New Covenant, according to Charlie's living water baptism, told to repent, surrender their lives to Christ, so they're to get new covenant immersed and then turn around and get old covenant immersed after they've just been new covenant immersed? That does not make any sense whatsoever. Just one of the many dilemmas Charlie faces as a consequence of his unscriptural living water baptism and rejection of the new covenant's H2O baptism. All right, now let's turn over to Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21. Charlie has often referred to this passage in his messages and did so again in our Missouri debate. And I realized I had yet to address this passage and Charlie's argument directly. So let's look at this. Acts 21, verses 15 through 24. Acts 21, beginning with verse 15. And after those days, we took up our carriages and went up to Jerusalem. There went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea, and brought with them one Mnason of Cyprus, an old disciple with whom we should lodge. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the not the Gentiles, but the nations by his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. And they are informed of thee that thou teachest all the Judahites which are among the nations to forsake Moses, saying that they ought to circumcise their children, they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. What is it, therefore? The multitudes must needs come together, for they will hear that thou art come. Do therefore, verse 23 and 24, do therefore this, that we say to thee, we have four men which have a vow on them. Then take and purify thyself with them, and be at charges with them, that they may shave their heads, and all may know that those things whereof they are informed concerning thee are nothing, but that thou thyself also walkest orderly, and keepeth the law. Now Charlie asserts, this is proof that Paul and other Christians were still keeping the Old Covenant rituals, including Old Covenant baptisms, and that they were doing so because the Old Covenant had not yet officially ended. Instead of, as Paul himself declared, that he did so as a means of preaching, as a means of reaching those still under the law. You might want to keep your place in Acts 21. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we've looked at this on one other occasion as well, but let's read it again. Verses 19, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 22. Verse 19, for though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself servant unto all, that I may gain the more. And under the Judahites I became as a Judahite, that I might gain the Judahites. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law of Christ. That I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that by all means I might save some. Verse 20 again. Verse 20, and unto the Judahites I became as a Judahite, that I might gain the Judahites. To them that are under the law, to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. Under the law being the operative term here, meaning under the old covenant Mosaic system that Christ, the new covenant king, had completely fulfilled. Under the new covenant, we're not under the law, but under grace, per Romans 6:14, etc. Paul was not I mean, Paul's the author of Romans 6:14. Paul was not, nor did he consider himself in any fashion under the law. That is, the requirements of the old covenant. Instead, he made himself appear to be under the law, as under the law, the Mosaic covenant, in order to win those under the Mosaic covenant. Now, do not overlook that this, here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, this is Paul's explanation for his reason for his old covenant observances. Evidenced, in fact, in Acts 21. If, as Charlie asserts, Paul was observing old covenant rituals, that was the common practice during the time that Acts 21 occurred. If as Charlie asserts, Paul was observing old covenant rituals because the old covenant had not yet completely ended, then the Jerusalem elders would not have needed to have instructed Paul to do as they recommended. He would have already been doing so. And there would have been no charges against him because he would have already been doing so. The intent of this passage in Acts 21 is not for Paul to get about old covenant sacrificing, but rather to do precisely as Paul himself depicted in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. That is, "And under the Judahites I became as a Judahite, that I might gain the Judahites. To them as under the law," excuse me, "to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might," as under the law, "that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak I became as weak, and that I might gain the weak. I was made all things to all men, that by all means I might save some." However, Charlie correctly points out that those in Acts 21 were not non-believers, but believers. Back to Acts 21. Acts 21 and verse 20 again. Verse 20 again. "And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Judahites there are which believe, and they are all zealous for the law." Which believe. It makes no difference. Paul's epistles are replete with his reprimands and condemnations of such Christians who are commonly known as Judaizers, who were known for preaching a perverted doctrine that required they keep the old covenant law. At one point, the Apostle Peter, even being numbered among them, whom Paul confronted to his face regarding this, as found in Galatians 2:11 and then the following verses. Thus, to teach that Paul was keeping the old covenant rituals, because, including the old covenant baptisms, to teach that Paul was keeping the old covenant rituals because the old covenant had not yet officially ended is to make Paul a hypocrite for condemning others for doing the same thing. Just another of the dilemmas that Charlie's living water baptism creates for him. Old covenant Judahites, and or new covenant Christian Judaizers, both were in the same boat to which 1 Corinthians 9, 20 through 22 would have applied. And once again, 1 Corinthians 9, 20 through 22 is Paul's Holy Spirit-inspired explanation for why he did what he did in Acts 21. The scriptural reason for what occurred in Acts 21. Consequently, once again, there is no evidence for Charlie's claim that Mark 16:16s, Acts 2s, Acts 8s, Mark 10, Acts 10s, and Acts 22s, H2O immersions were Old Covenant rituals kept because the Old Covenant didn't end until 70 AD. Now, listen, this is very important. None of this, or anything else I've preached in previous messages, is to deny or reject what Charlie's taught about the mikveh, or that baptizo, the Greek word transliterated baptism, is not limited to H2O water immersion, or that there were a number of water immersions employed during the Old Covenant dispensation, including John's immersion, or that Hebrews 9 teaches that such water rituals have been done away and replaced under the New Covenant. Not only do I not reject those four teachings, they're not as novel as Charlie makes them out to be. I've understood all of those things for years. None of them having any bearing on what I teach regarding New Covenant H2O water immersion, because none of them provide any proof whatsoever that H2O water immersion has been done away under the New Covenant. You know, Charlie has made it sound like such a novel idea that you guys haven't considered this, and this is why there is no H2O water immersion under the New Covenant. I've known all of those things, and they've had no bearing whatsoever on where I stand on H2O water immersions, because they don't prove what Charlie has inducted, inducted that they prove. It's inductive reasoning. They don't prove in and by themselves what Charlie thinks they prove. The only thing they prove is that they're all true. The only thing they prove is that Old Covenant H2O ritual immersions are no longer applicable under the New Covenant. In other words, none of those things are evidence, scriptural evidence, as Charlie would like them to be, that eliminates H2O water immersions as pertinent, essential, under the New Covenant. Charlie has unequivocally, scripturally demonstrated that Old Covenant ritual baptisms have been eliminated under the New Covenant. But what Charlie has not done is scripturally prove that Mark 16:16, Acts 2:38, 10:47-48, 19:5, and 22:16, etc., qualify as some of those Old Covenant baptisms. If you need to, go back and carefully listen to his messages. He has not scripturally proven that. He thinks he has, I'm sure, but he hasn't. It's just not been done. He has not scripturally proven that those baptisms qualify as Old Covenant baptisms. He furthermore has not scripturally proven that Romans 6:3-4, Galatians 3:26-27, and Colossians 2:11-13 are not water immersions, as he claims they are not. If you need to, go back and carefully listen to his messages. He has not proven, scripturally proven, that those immersions are not water immersions. These two things are what Charlie must scripturally prove for him to have any case whatsoever for his living water baptism. And he simply has not done so. He's claimed it is true, but he has not scripturally proven either of those to be true. If you need to, go back and carefully listen to his messages. As for the latter of the two, that Charlie has failed to scripturally prove, as he has said, bapto and baptizo are generic terms. That's true. Simply meaning to dip or immerse with no inherent mode. Consequently, he no more has authority to insert living water into Romans 6, Galatians 3, and Colossians 2 than I do to insert H2 water into those passages. Consequently, because the context provides no mode, H2O, spirit, molasses, or otherwise, we're left to determine the mode of those baptisms in Romans 6, Galatians 3, and Colossians 2 by some other scriptural means. Neither he nor I have the right to insert our own opinions, what they are. We must determine them by the scriptures. And I don't think God left us without a means to do so. But Charlie has no means to do so because the Bible never once cites a living water baptism. He consequently has nothing with which to compare those passages. On the other hand, because Mark 16:16's H2O immersion is for salvation, and because Acts 2:38's H2O immersion is for the forgiveness of sins, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and from being added to the body or ecclesia of Christ, and because Acts 22:16's H2O immersion is for the washing away of our sins, we know, therefore, that any immersion performed for comparable reasons must also be H2O water immersions as well. And therefore, because Romans 6, 3-4's immersion is for being born again, and because Galatians 3, 26-27's immersion is for becoming children of God and being clothed with Christ, and because Colossians 2, 11-13's immersion is for the forgiveness of sins and for being made alive, born again, we therefore know, based upon the scriptures, without inserting our own opinions, we therefore know Romans 6, 3-4, Galatians 3, 26-27, and Colossians 2, 11-13 are likewise H2O water immersions, the same as Mark 16:16, Acts 2:38, and Acts 22:16. All of them, except for Mark 16, of course, being the result of Christ, new covenant, the new covenant king's commission to be water immersed. If Romans 6, 3-4, Galatians 3, 26-27, and Colossians 2, 11-13 are not H2O water immersions, and therefore not commissioned by the new covenant king in Mark 16:16, then there is no commission for those baptisms found anywhere in the scriptures. They just appear out of nowhere. Another dilemma created by Charlie's non-scriptural living water immersion. Therefore, again, all things comparable to what we find in what Charlie agrees are water immersions in Mark 16:16, Acts 2:38, 22-16, and the other Acts passages or immersions. We therefore know, again, that Romans 6, 3-4, Galatians 3, 26-27, and Colossians 2, 11-13 are likewise H2O water immersions. Which then means that if Charlie persists in teaching his living water baptism, he must also reject Romans 6, 3-4, Galatians 3, 26-27, and Colossians 2, 11-13 as Old Covenant immersions as well. Which, in turn, only creates another bunch of dilemmas for him. The fact is, Charlie has not provided, not even a pittance of scriptural evidence that eliminates H2O immersion as pertinent, essential, under the new covenant. It's all been inductive rather than deductive conclusions, eisegesis rather than exegesis. On the other hand, I've not only provided an abundance of evidence proving the opposite, I furthermore addressed and disproven most, if not all, of Charlie's claims as scripturally unsound. If you need to, go back and listen to my messages again. Now, there is one piece of evidence in particular that alone absolutely proves that Mark 16:16's H2O water immersion and those it commissioned in Acts 2:38, Romans 6:3-4, etc., that should settle this debate once and for all, especially for anyone like Charlie who believes in fulfilled prophecy. As I've stated in previous messages, the crux of this issue rests not so much on when the old covenant finally ended, but on when the new covenant definitively commenced. And therefore, when Yeshua definitively became our new covenant king, having fulfilled everything regarding the Old Covenant, including the Old Covenant H2O purification immersions, some of which was fulfilled when Christ submitted to John's Old Covenant baptism. Christ then died, resurrected from the grave, and then ascended to his throne at the right hand of the Father as new covenant king, per Matthew 28 and Hebrews 1, etc. Let's go over to Matthew 28 and look at this again. This is so important. Matthew chapter 28 and verses 18 and 19. Matthew 28, verses 18 and 19. And Jesus came and spake unto them, the disciples, saying, "All power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, immersing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." All authority was given him per Matthew 28:18. And in the very next verse, as well as in Mark 16:16, upon this authority as new covenant king, he commissioned his disciples to be H2O water immersed. And it is absurd for anyone, it borders on being heretical, and that's being magnanimous. It is absurd for anyone to then teach that after fulfilling the old covenant H2O immersions, that Christ, the new covenant king, commissioned his new covenant disciples to be old covenant H2O immersed, which is what you must believe if you hold to Charlie's teaching regarding H2O baptism. If nothing else I preached on this convinces you Charlie's rejection of the new covenant H2O immersion is scripturally invalid, this alone should do it. Especially for anyone like Charlie who believes that Christ fulfilled everything in the Old Covenant. In conclusion, please, none of this is to be taken lightly. Your salvation is in play, at stake. Proverbs 30 and verse 12, "There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness." And now, why do you delay? Arise and be immersed and wash away your sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, now and glorify thee once again, Father, for who you are and what you've done and what you've made possible for us through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection from the grave. None of this that we've discussed in these messages make any difference whatsoever, aside from the fact that you provided us in Christ our salvation through His blood atoning sacrifice and resurrection from the grave. It's in and through that that we understand that Father, salvation, being born again, being added to the ecclesia, the body of Christ, being indwelt with the Holy Spirit, putting on Christ, being all things comparable, Lord, are made possible for us. It's in and through Him and His death, burial, and resurrection that that is possible. But that You have also provided us the means to be able to take advantage of what has been done for us. And that is found in the New Covenant's Holy Spirit-inspired, scriptural plan of salvation on our behalf, as provided by our New Covenant King in Mark 16:16, and Matthew 28:18-19, and Father in Mark 16:16, which commissioned all of the other New Covenant H2O water baptisms that regrettably is being denied by so many today. Open their hearts and minds, Lord. Help them to see. Help them to be humble enough. Help them to see and then to be humble enough, Lord, to admit their faults and to be drawn unto You again all the way to the foot of the cross and to the empty grave, that they too might be, Father, covered with the blood of Christ. We thank You, Father, that You've made that possible, Lord, and that You've revealed how it's done according to Your word here in the Bible. We praise You, we thank You, we glorify You. We again claim these things in Yeshua the Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.